If you walk with Christ, are you conformed or are you transformed? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
So many people come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and there's never any change. They come in a mean, bitter person filled with anger and filled with worry and filled with jealousy and filled with bitterness. They come in that way and they leave that way. And next Sunday they come in that way and they leave that way. And there's never any change. And they say, well, I'm here worshiping God. Hey, when you really worship God, God's way, in a way that pleases God in spirit and truth, it changes you, the worshiper. Do you want to be changed?
He can heal every scar.
What does it take to worship in a way that both pleases God and changes you? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today walks us through the differences of being conformed to the world or truly transformed by Christ. Which one are you? Thank you for joining us today for Pastor Jeff Shreve's message called Conformed or Transformed. It's a powerhouse of a message that will convict you, transform your worship, and turn you into the disciple of Christ that you were created to be. Now, if you miss some of this broadcast, you'll want to go to fromhisheart.org and click the On Radio tab to listen. There, too, you can download this broadcast on MP3 format and the sermon outline and notes from Pastor Jeff. And be sure to be with us tomorrow for the conclusion to this lesson. But let's get started. Here's Pastor Jeff explaining the difference between being conformed or transformed.
In 1988, I went on an interview in Naperville, Illinois. It was a big interview. It was a good job. It was a great big pay raise from what I had been making. And I was nervous, but I was praying and I was trusting God. And the job was a technical sales job. But I remember on the interview, my interviewer asked me this question. He said, so what's the definition of PH? Can you think of any other job where they ask you the definition of pH? He said, what's the definition of pH? I said, I don't know. It has something to do with acid. I think I could probably get it on a multiple choice. That was my answer in the interview. I ended up getting the job. I guess the answer was okay. But in that job, you learned all this technical stuff. But then they also taught you about sales. And they did a good job teaching about sales. And you know, one of the things they taught me about sales, and I had been selling for a while, but one of the things they taught me, which is like, duh, but it's so important, is find out what the customer wants. Find out what pleases the customer. It's a basic principle in sales. Find out what the customer wants and then do it. Now, in church, we get confused on this principle of what does the customer want? Because in church, we have a tendency to think that the customer is the congregant. As one man told a pastor one day, he said, well, pastor, what are you doing for your customers? Meaning the congregation. We're your customers. We are the paying customers. What are you doing for us? Listen, in church, there is one customer and his name is God. You're not a customer. I'm not a customer. God is the customer, and we worship God and we serve God. He doesn't serve us. We serve Him. He doesn't worship us. We worship Him. That's a basic, basic truth. We're here to worship the Lord and to please the Lord because He is the customer. So, as servants who are here to worship and please the Lord, who is the master, who is the customer, we have to ask ourselves this question. Well, what does the customer want? What kind of worship pleases God? Remember, Jesus said, the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. He wants you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we worship and it's not in spirit or it's not in truth, then we're not going to please God because He's looking for worshipers to worship in spirit and truth. If we do anything other than that, we're not calibrating God's controller. He's saying, I don't care about this other stuff. Worship me in spirit and in truth. He is the customer. Lord, what can I do to please you? What kind of worship pleases you? Did you know in the Bible, the very first two worshipers that we read about in Genesis chapter 4, one was named Cain and one was named Abel. They came before the Lord, and Cain, who was a farmer, he came his own way. He worshiped God his way, and the Lord says, I don't regard your worship. Abel came God's way. He worshiped God's way, and God put his stamp of approval on his worship. We have right off the bat people that come and they want to worship God their own way. No. You have to find out what the customer wants. And when you find out what the customer wants, and the customer is God, and you worship him that way, that pleases God. And you know what is so cool? When you worship God God's way, it pleases God and it changes you. It transforms you and changes you. Now, the sad reality is that so many people come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Churches all over America, and they come to church, and there's never any change. They come in a mean, bitter person filled with anger and filled with worry and filled with jealousy and filled with bitterness. They come in that way, and they leave that way. And next Sunday, they come in that way, and they leave that way. And there's never any change. And they say, well, I'm here worshiping God. Hey, when you really worship God, God's way, in a way that pleases God in spirit and truth, it changes you, the worshiper. Do you want to be changed? Don't you want to be different? Don't you want to be more like Jesus Christ? When you really worship him, you become more like him. That's what God wants for you, and that's what God wants for me. We're finishing our series on worship today that has been entitled The Heart of Worship. And we want to look at this question as we finish up. What is involved in worship that pleases God and changes you? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 give us the answer to that question. Paul says this, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, well-pleasing to God is what that word means. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable, well-pleasing and perfect. Hey, what's involved in worship that pleases God and transforms and changes you and me? Two essentials. Essential number one, it takes a total surrender of self to God. You want to give God worship that pleases him? Well, this is what pleases him. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, your total self, a living and holy sacrifice. That is acceptable to God. That is well-pleasing to God. And that is your spiritual service of worship. That is worship. Sometimes we get the idea that worship is what we just finished. It's 20 minutes in a service. That's the worship portion of the service. Now we have the sermon portion of the service. And so when people ask about your worship, you say, yeah, I worship on Sundays. I worship for 20 minutes every Sunday. Worship is not 20 minutes, it's 24/7. It's what God calls us to do. It's what we're supposed to do with our lives, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, not just during the singing. That is a part of worship, but that's not the totality of worship. And worship is not just, what kind of music do you like? Well, you kind of like this kind of worship music. I like this kind of worship music. Worship is coming before the Lord. Remember what we said the definition was? It's my loving, adoring, all in response to who God is and what he has done. That is worship. I'm all in. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That is worship. And it's described here as presenting your bodies, your total self, as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, what did they do? They would bring a bull, they would bring a goat, they would bring a lamb, and they would bring it to the altar, and they would tie it to the altar because they were getting ready to kill it. And so if you're a bull or a goat or a lamb and you're thinking, hey, I don't want to be here. And so they'd have to tie it so it didn't move. and then they would slay it at the altar. And that's the picture that is given here. But now we come as living sacrifices. We're not tied to the altar. Nobody's holding a gun to our head. We come willingly and present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. You said completely, totally? I mean, that's what God wants, my whole self, and that is worship? You said, well, Jeff, that sounds like too much. God is asking too much here. I mean, I want to worship him, but I don't want to come like that. I mean, I'm gonna give God a lot, but you're talking about giving him everything, and I don't know if I'm ready to give him everything. It doesn't sound reasonable. Ah, so glad that you said that, because Romans chapter 12, verse 1 uses this word where it says, which is your spiritual service of worship. The word spiritual is the Greek word logikos, and that word means reasonable, intelligent. It makes sense to give your whole self to God. It makes complete, rational, intelligent sense. Interestingly, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, recognizing who God is, that's the fear of the Lord. Recognizing that God is God and you and I are not God. So the fear of the Lord is giving God his rightful place as God, and it's taking your rightful place as servant. That's the fear of the Lord. But fools don't want to do that. Fools don't want to offer themselves up as a living sacrifice to God. They said, no way, I'm not going to do that. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, it makes sense to give yourself completely to God. And let me give you three reasons why it makes sense. Three reasons why it's reasonable. It's reasonable, number one, because of who God is. Because of who he is, the great God of the universe. Who am I coming to present myself, my total self, as a living sacrifice? To God, the great God of the universe. Look up one verse in Romans chapter 11 and verse 36 and see what the scripture says about God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God is the one. From him, through him, to him are all things. God is king of the universe. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, speaking of the greatness of God, it says that all the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. If you put all the nations on the scale, God on one side and all the nations on another, God says they're like a speck of dust compared to me. All the nations. God is so great and so awesome and so wonderful, far beyond our minds can comprehend. God is the Pacific Ocean. You and I have a teacup mind. We can't take in all that there is of God with a teacup mind when he's as vast as the Pacific Ocean. And so, because of who God is, it's reasonable to bow your knee before him. He's the great God of the universe, the great king over all the earth. It's reasonable because of who he is. It's reasonable, reason number two, because of what he has done. Look at it again. I urge you, there's a pleading, there's an urging. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. How can we present ourselves before a holy God? Only by his mercy. And when you come and you present yourself to God, you have to keep in mind and remember his mercy, what he has done for you. When you worship God, you come in gratitude and in awe, and you come only because of mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus emptied himself of all that was innately his as God and became a man and suffered and bled and died on a cross. Why? so that you who are poor might become rich. It's all because of his mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and you are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, who is now working in the sons of disobedience. And in them too we all formerly walked, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Man, it paints a really grim picture in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And then in verse 4, it says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Wow, it's all because of mercy. Hey, it's reasonable to give yourself completely, totally to God. Why? Because of who he is. Number two, because he's what he's done for you. Giving his life for you on the cross. John Calvin said this, until men really apprehend how much they owe to the mercy of God, they will never with a right feeling worship him, nor be effectually stimulated to fear and obey him. Do you remember what we said when we talked about the prostitute that came and wept at Jesus' feet? Jesus said, the one who's forgiven little loves little. The one who's forgiven much loves much. And when you come before the Lord, you're in awe that he's forgiven you for so much, and you give yourself to him. It's by the mercies of God. And then reason number three, it is reasonable because of what he desires. Think about God, the great God of the universe. What could you and I possibly give God? He's God. I mean, if you want to buy a Christmas present for someone who's really wealthy, it's really hard to do because you think, well, what do I get them? I mean, they have everything. They can get everything. I can't give them anything that they couldn't get themselves. Well, that's for a wealthy person. What do you give God? I mean, God, what do you want from me? Do you want my money? God says, all the silver, all the gold belong to me. God, do you want my service? God says, I have angels that will serve me at the speed of light. God, do you want my talent, whatever that might be? God says, are you more talented than the angel Gabriel, than Michael? No. Well, God, what can I possibly give you? You know, there's one thing that you have and that I have that until you give it to God, he doesn't have. That's your heart. Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me your heart, because that's what God wants. He loves you. He wants you to love him back. He can't make you love him. He's given you a free will. He didn't make anybody a robot. And God is saying, give me your heart. Give me your love. Give me your devotion. And so why do I bow my knee before the great king who died for me? It's because he desires that. He wants me. As amazing as that would sound, that God would want me, that God would want you, but he does. And he invites us to come into his presence. And Paul is saying, hey, I urge you to do this. I beg you to do this, to give yourself, because that is worship. It's your spiritual service of worship. It's what pleases God. It is acceptable to God. It is well-pleasing to God. So that is the first thing. You want to give God worship that pleases him? It takes a total surrender of self to God. Now listen, remember this. No one understands everything about themselves. So when you come to God, you give all you know of yourself to him. But the Christian life is a life of growth. I learn new things about me. I learn things that I haven't given this over to the Lord. I haven't given that over to the Lord. I didn't know it, but as he speaks to my heart through his word and through worship and coming together corporately to worship, I learn things. It's like, you know what? I'm holding on to this. I'm holding on to that. I give that over to you, Lord. And so it's a growth process, but you're coming with an open heart that says, Lord, I give it all because you are worthy. So that's the first essential. It takes a total surrender of self to God. Essential number two, it takes a commitment to be transformed and not conformed. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. There's a warning that is here. Did you catch that warning? We're talking about worship in verse 1, and then all of a sudden he's like, well, wait a minute, and be careful. Do not be conformed to this world. Listen, when you worship God and you give your whole self to God, you got to remember something. You have an enemy. His name is the devil. He does not want you to worship God in spirit and truth. You know why? Because he knows if you really worship God and please God, that you will be changed and you will become like God. And he doesn't want that. And so he's going to fight you. And he uses the pressure of this world and this world system to try and squeeze you. See, there is pressure from the world to conform us in worship. Do not, the scripture says, be conformed to this world. The Phillips translation translates Romans 12 2 this way. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. What does it mean that the world would squeeze me into its mold? What does it mean that I would conform to this world? There is pressure when you seek God and come to God. There's pressure from the enemy. There's pressure in this world to conform, to have your true worship turn to lifeless religion. Scripture says don't do that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's pressure from the world to conform in worship, but there is power from the Lord to transform by worship.
So how do you fare? Are you giving in to the pressures around you that are trying to shape and conform you? Or are you allowing the Lord to transform you by your worship? You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we trust that you'll make sure you can be with us tomorrow for the conclusion to this lesson, Conformed or Transformed. It's from Pastor Jeff's series, The Heart of Worship, Worshiping God in Spirit and in Truth. All this month, Pastor Jeff has been focusing on the Holy Spirit, exploring the person and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And today's message helps us to see where we can practically put that knowledge to use in our lives and in our worship. But if you missed any of this month's teaching on the Holy Spirit, you'll want to get the entire series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit, and Pastor Jeff's companion booklet, The Divine Helper, Uncovering the Mystery and Ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you'll be fully informed and empowered and ready to be transformed in your life. The series and the booklet are our thanks for your support this month of any amount to From His Heart. Just request them when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And thank you so very much for helping us transform the world, one person at a time, helping them turn their lives over to Christ. God bless you. Well, time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us. We trust the program has been a blessing to you and that we'll have the opportunity to be a blessing to you tomorrow with part two of this powerful message, Conformed or Transformed. It'll be the final message for the month and our emphasis on Holy Spirit teaching. Here's a sample of what's coming up.
Are you being conformed or are you being transformed? If you're honest and you say, man, I'm so much like the conformed. I'm a whiner. I'm a griper. I'm a complainer. I so fear man. I tend to spectate. Jeff, I've never won a person to Christ in my whole life, and I've been a Christian for 50 years. Here's the wonderful thing. You don't have to stay that way. You can change. You can say, Lord, I give myself to you. Change me.
We hope you'll join us Tuesday, right here on From His Heart. There is bliss, there is hope that you always dreamed of. He can heal every scar. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.